Good morning and welcome to the Maystorm Biz Mentors Program. We're honored to have Rav Yonason Sacks. This morning's share is on Binyan Beis HaMikdash, sponsored by Merrill and Gary Hoffman, in memory of Asha Hoffman, a friend of Bracha. B'kol Gadol, Rav Sacks.
Beginning with Parshas Truman, as you know, several Parshios are devoted to the theme of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. And in Sefer HaMitzvos you find the fundamental machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban in terms of how it is that we should enumerate all of the many tzivuyim, all the various mitzvos, in terms of Taryag mitzvos. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos and Mitzvah Chof that there is a single mitzvah, Vasli Mikdash V'Shachamti V'Zochem. Included in this mitzvah, according to the Rambam sheet, is not only building the Mishkan, building the Beis HaMikdash, and Klei HaMikdash, all of the necessary kelim are also assumed as part of this mitzvah itself. The Chiddush in the Rambam sheet that the Ramban points out is the following. Sometimes the Torah will give us a mitzvah that has various different elements, many different components. And the question is, when do you count the components as a single mitzvah? When are they considered to be independent mitzvahs? When it comes, for example, to Dalet Minim Shabalulav, the Rambam writes that the Lulav, Esrog, Hadas, and Arava are considered to be a single mitzvah. When it comes, however, on the other hand, to Tfilin, there the Tfilah Shoyat, Tfilah Shorosh are considered to be independent mitzvahs. When do you assume that they're two separate mitzvahs? When do you assume that they're Chelek Mechelke HaMitzvahs that constitute a single mitzvah? So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos in Shurashir Aleph and in Shurashir Beis writes the general rule that applies at least to those two cases as follows. When it comes to Dalet Minim Shabalulav, the Mishnah tells us they are Me'akvin Ze'ezeh. Each one is indispensable. If you don't have a lulav, there's no mitzvah to take an esrog, no mitzvah to take the hadasim and aravos, and therefore that is an indicator that they all comprise a single mitzvah. This certainly is not true when it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin. There is the tefillah shayat, tefillah sharosh, but certainly they are independent, they are ein ma'akvin ze'ezeh. And in that sense, the Rambam writes that indicates they're considered to be independent mitzvahs. You know that the Rambam maintains that only a single bracha is recited on tefillin, but yet the Rambam writes that does not mean that they are a single mitzvah. They're two independent mitzvahs, but yet there is coverage with a single bracha of Lahaniach Tfilin. Tosus Hashita, for example, in Brachos and Dasamach, but you recite two Brachos on Tfilin, it's not because that they're two different mitzvahs. One is for the Tfilah Shoyad, the other for the Tfilah Shorosh. Tosus is explicit, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that if all one would have was the Tfilah Shorosh, you recite two Brachos on the Tfilah Shorosh itself. That machlokes is really a very different one, but it's clear from the Rambam that Tfilin are considered to be two independent mitzvahs. So if they are dependent on each other, Dalaninim Shabalulav, a single mitzvah. If they are independent, such as the example of Tfilin, the Rambam writes, they are two independent mitzvahs. The difficulty with the Rambam's viewer is the following, that there seem to be noted cases which do not seem to follow this structure. And after all, the Ramban points out that one of them is Vashle Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Shalcham. Is it really similar to the case of Dalet Minim in the sense that they are ma'akvin zezeh? Let's assume, for example, one of the kelim would be absent. You wouldn't have a shulchan. You wouldn't have a menorah. Is it true that the avodah would not continue? Or you wouldn't have the kedushas hamikdash? Certainly not. In that sense, they are independent. You don't need the menorah in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the lechem hapanim that requires the shulchan. You don't need a shulchan for hakravas hakarbanos. And in that sense, if you're strictly working with that model of ma'akvin or ein ma'akvin zezeh, in such a case, then perhaps one should argue that the klei hamikdash are considered to be independent, perhaps more similar to the case of tefillin. If you look, for example, in Sefer HaMitzvos, you mentioned the Rambam writes the mitzvah of tefillin, the case of tefillah shorosh, tefillah shoyad, and Sefer HaMitzvos Yedeis, Yed Gimel. The Rambam goes on to discuss the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis as well does not seem to conform to this model. When it comes to tzitzis, there the Rambam writes there's one mitzvah of tcheles and lavan, but they comprise a single mitzvah. even though the Rambam assumes that the sheet of the Chachamim, the Tcheles and Lavan, are Ein Ma'akvin Zeze. They are not absolutely dependent upon each other. You can have Lavan, for example, without Tcheles. And yet the Rambam writes, Tcheles and Lavan is considered to be a single mitzvah. Just a little bit earlier, in Mitzvah Yud, in Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Kriyashma. And there the Rambam writes that Kriyashma is one mitzvah. The Rambam begins Hilchos Kriyashma, Pa'amayim b'chol yom koronis Hashma. You're obligated to read Kriyashma twice a day. The Rambam writes Shema is a single mitzvah, uv'shach u'v'kumecha, certainly ein makmin zezen. The sense that if a person didn't daven Mariv and didn't recite Kriyashma last night, we wouldn't tell them that all is lost and don't bother reciting Kriyashma today. Certainly, they are independent, but yet the Rambam writes they constitute a single mitzvah. So even within this broader structure of ma'akfin and ein ma'akfin zezeh, more is necessary in order to fully understand the Rambam Shita. In a certain sense, it's true. When it comes to Dalet Minim Shebelulav, the fact that they're ma'akfin zezeh, they're absolutely dependent upon each other, that is a clear indicator that it's considered to be a single mitzvah. The question really is the other half. When something is not li'ikuva, bottom line is that you can proceed, for example, with lavan, even if you don't have the tchelis. What exactly does that indicate? See, sometimes that indicates independence. Tfila shayad, tfila sharosh, they're considered to be two independent kiyumim. But sometimes, as Vlachek explained, the fact that that is the case perhaps indicates what we term a mitzvah bishlemusa. The fact that if you don't have tchelis, you can proceed with lavan does not necessarily mean that tchelis is an independent mitzvah, but perhaps it means as follows. The mitzvah bishlemusa, the mitzvah in its most pristine, most complete sense, is to fulfill the mitzvah sitzes together with tchelis and lavan. The fact that if you don't have tchelis, one can continue and fulfill the mitzvah with lavan does not necessarily mean that that indicates that tchelis is a separate mitzvah, but rather it is necessary l'chadchila as a mitzvah namuchar, that is the ideal form of the mitzvah, but the next tier, that minimally there is a kiyum of one without the other. So sometimes if I argue that something is not li'ikuva, it doesn't necessarily mean independence, but rather it means that it is not vital for the kiyum ha-mitzvah. See, when you look at those individual cases, it becomes clear why the Rambam assumes in each one you will count it as one or two separate mitzvahs. In earlier shiur we discussed, for example, the model of tzitzis. Then we pointed out the following, that you have tzitzis, which is made up of tcheles and lavan. What is the breakdown of tcheles and lavan? Very unclear from the Gemara. Rashi and Tosas Ushita is it's an even distribution. Out of the eight strands, the chutei ha-tzitzis, four are lavan, four are tcheles. So you can understand, according to Rashi and Tosus, that those are considered to be equal parts of the mitzvah itself. And maybe one could argue that they're two independent mitzvahs, like the Tfila Shoyaz and Tfila Shoyosh. When you look in the Rambam sheet, it certainly does not seem that way at all. The Rambam maintains that of the eight chutei hatzitzis, seven are lavan. Only one is considered to be tcheles. And that is not just simply a disagreement in degree, whether it's one or whether it's four. That's what Eichik explained. This is also the beer of the Netziv in the Shiltos and Parsha Shlach, that there is an essential difference between Rashi and Tosus as opposed to the Rambam. According to Rashi and Tosus, it's an equal breakdown, an equal distribution of the mitzvah itself. According to the view of the Rambam, that really is not the case. If I were to ask you, what is the essence of tzitzis, you would tell me, the chetzis shel tzitzis is lavan. But the Torah tells us, what do you do with the tzitzis? You have to braid them. You have to make chulios, krichos. You have to wind them. You have to twist them. How is it you create the braids, the knots of the tzitzis? The answer is with a tzil cheles. Tzil means to twist, as the pasuk of Dor Ikesh Utshalto. So therefore the Rambam understood that essentially the tzitzis are lavan. It's necessary to form the tzitzis, to braid, to knot the tzitzis. So therefore the braiding is done with that single strand of tchelis. And that's why only one that you braid with, that is the tchelis itself. So if I were to ask you, is that one mitzvah or two separate mitzvahs? What would you argue? That lavan is one mitzvah And the braiding is an independent mitzvah? But certainly not. The essence of the tzitzis are chutei lavan. The need, for example, for the tchelas is simply to create the loops, the braids, the tzulios, the tzilos, and so on. And if that is the case, you understand why the Rambam writes, that is not two separate mitzvahs. It's not that tchelas is independent. L'chatchila, the mitzvah amubchar is to braid with the tchelas. And if you don't have tchelas, then you braid with the lavan. In fact, Tosos writes a very interesting kashya, the very beginning of Perek Tchelas. Let's assume, for example, a person doesn't have a tefillin shoyad. So he puts on the tefillin shorosh. Does he put on two tefillin shorosh? No, certainly not. He puts on the tefillin shorosh by itself. So Tosos says, if you don't have Tchelas, maybe you should have a total of four strands of lavan. Why do you double up for what you are lacking? And therefore, Tosos suggests interesting possibility that if you don't have tchelas, your tzitzis looks very different. It's only two strings that are folded to four, as opposed to four that are folded to eight. You understand where Tosos is coming from, in the sense that there are two very components of the mitzvah, and therefore, if you don't have one, you proceed with the other, but you don't try to compensate for that which is lacking. According to the Rambam, you understand very well that that is not the case. As we do, after all, that the tzitzis are considered to be chutei lavan. It's necessary to braid, ideally braid with the tchelas. If you don't have tchelas, then braid with the lavan. So you understand very well why, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't count tzitzis and tchelas as an independent mitzvah. Even when it comes to kriyashma, we discussed in the earlier shiur, and the Rambam writes kriyashma is a single mitzvah to recite kriyashma daily. Why should that be? That again indicates that according to the Rambam's view, there is an inherent link between Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. These two mitzvos are bound. It's not that they are absolutely independent, even though it's clear that they're Ein Ma'akvin Ze'ezeh, in the sense that if you don't recite Kriya Shema day, of course you fulfill the mitzvah Kriya Shema at night, and vice versa. Why are they so linked? As Baleishik once explained as follows. You know the theme of Kriya Shema, of course? The kiyum is Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. If I were to ask you, the concept of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim, is that something which is only relevant to a few minutes each day? You know, it's enough if a person, right, has that mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech, right before you go to sleep, it's good enough, and in the morning is good enough, and somehow, right, that during the day, that Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim is really irrelevant. Rosh Levitchik explained it, certainly not. In essence, Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim is a mitzvah tmidis. In a sense, that's a constant awareness. That's a constant state of mind. The kiyum mitzvah of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim is enduring. That really is something which is kol hayom. So what did the Torah insist that we do? So all day, a person should do nothing more than recite the parsha of the Shema. You know what the answer is? The answer is, in terms of recitation, in terms of Maisa HaMitzvah, the answer is bookends. Now, if a person will wake up in the morning, and immediately is Makabla Malchus Shamayim, and before a person goes to sleep, he is Makabla Malchus Shamayim, that frames the entire day. The day should be replete with Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. And that is why Kriya Shema is not dependent on day versus night, but rather Zman Shiva, Zman Kiva, when you go to sleep, when you awake, because after all, the essence is to be able to understand the day as an opportunity of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim itself. So if you understand Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim in that way, that the Kiyum Mitzvah is lasting, the Maisa Mitzvah, in order to go ahead and to invest the day with that quality, you understand very well that there must be a clear link between the Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. They're not independent at all. And that's why the Rambam emphasizes Pamayim B'Choyam Karnes HaShema, that you have to read Kriya Shema twice a day, because if you'll say Kriya Shema at night, but not do so during the day, there is something lacking with the mitzvah of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim of the day in its entirety. It's true, we wouldn't argue that. Don't now recite the Kriya Shema, but nonetheless, the mitzvah Bishnei Musha is Hamayim B'Choyom. And that's why the Rambam recites, counts Kriya Shema as a single mitzvah, not as two separate mitzvahs. The same apparently is true when it comes to Vasli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Sofa. That according to the Rambam's view, as a mitzvah Bishnei Musha, it's necessary to have a Beis HaMikdash that is furnished with all of the Klei HaMikdash. And that is the ideal kiyum of Osli Mikdash. It is not the mitzvah b'shleimusa. If you have a mikdash that is lacking a menorah, that is lacking a shulchan, even though it's true that the avodah still could continue, you can still have karbanos without a menorah, but nonetheless the mitzvah b'shleimusa is to be able to have each and every one of its components. So true, on one level, it is not indispensable in terms of maisa hamitzvah, but the kiyum hamitzvah in the broader sense of asiyas hamikdash, in such a sense, that is what requires the mikdash in all of its kelim. That is the Rambam view. One mitzvah, vasle mikdash, and kelim are included in the mitzvah of asiyas hamikdash as well. As mentioned, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam maintains that since each one of the kelim is not indispensable, you cannot argue that it's just part of the mitzvah vasle mikdash v'shachanti v'shalcham. Well then, what is the view of the Rambam? You really mean to count every single mitzvah independently? You'll have many more than tayag mitzvahs if each one of the kelim is to be counted as an independent mitzvah. So the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, explains his view as follows. We count in Sefer HaMitzvos a mitzvah, but we do not count a hechsher mitzvah. If something is merely a preparatory stage, a precondition, in such a case, that is not counted as an independent mitzvah. So the Ramban explains as follows. Why does the Torah insist that you must have a mizbeach? Why is it essential to have a shulchan? The Ramban writes, it's for the purpose of avona. The reason you have to have a shulchan is for the mitzvah of lechem hapanim. The reason a menorah, for the mitzvah of hadlakas haneros. And therefore the Ramban writes that forming the menorah is only a hechsher mitzvah for the mitzvah of hadlakas haneros. Creating the shulchan is a hechsher mitzvah for the mitzvah of lechem hapanim, and that is not why it is not counted. It's not an independent mitzvah, but rather it is a preparatory stage, a hechsher mitzvah. You will not count making the sukkah and sitting in the sukkah as two separate mitzvahs, but rather, asiyas ha-sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah to facilitate yeshiva. The same is true when it comes to all of the clay hamikdash as well. So two very different views. The Rambam that writes kelim is subsumed under vasmi mikdash v'shachanti besochem according to the view of the Ramban. That is not the case, but rather it is a hechsher mitzvah that is not counted. The Ramban, based on this reasoning, underscores the uniqueness of the Aram. When it comes to all of the other Klei HaMikdash, if I were to ask you what is its purpose, clearly it is necessary for a particular avoda. Why is it so essential to have the Aron? The Aron is not defined in terms of a particular avoda. And therefore the Ramban writes that unlike all of the other Klei HaMikdash, when the Torah says Va'asu Aron, that is an independent mitzvah. After all, you cannot label Asiyas Aron simply as a hechsher avoda. And therefore the Ramban writes that Shulchan is a hechsher mitzvah, Menorah is a hechsher mitzvah. However, when it comes to Aron, Va'osu Aron, that is considered to be an independent mitzvah. These are the two views, the Rambam and the Ramban. Why is it that we don't count each one of the Klei HaMikdash independently? According to the Rambam, subsumed under the broadest heading, Gosle Mikdash, according to the Ramban, it is considered to be a Hechsher Avoda, with that exception of Aron. To some extent, one could argue that this Rambam in Ramban is Lashitase, and reflects a broader issue. What is the essence of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash? What exactly is its purpose? The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Chaf, terms the Beis HaMikdash as a Beis Avoda. A Beis Avoda. And that's what the Rambam emphasizes at the very beginning of Hokus Beis HaBechira. A Makom Shema Krivim Bo Karbanos. It is a place of Avoda. And the Ramban, at the very beginning of Parshas Truma, underscores the essence of the Beis HaMikdash in a very different way. The purpose of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash is to capture, to preserve the Hashras Hashchina that was present at the time of Maamad Har Sinai. And therefore to capture that, the Doros.
And therefore, the essence of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash is a Beis HaShchina, a place of Hashras HaShchina. And that's why the Ramban writes that the Torah uses the same terminology describing the Kvod Hashem that was found in Mamre HaSinai and Kvod Hashem Aleyas HaMishkan, that Gzeres Shavah, so to speak, in order to indicate that that is the essence of the Mishkan Beis HaMikdash, to preserve the Hashras HaShchina found at the time of Kabbalah Satorah. So whereas according to the Rambam, Mikdash is a base avoda, according to the view of the Ramban, it's a base Hashchina. With that in mind, Rav Asher has explained, you understand these two views. If the purpose of the base Hamikdash is a base avoda, makes perfect sense as the Rambam writes that the clay avoda should be part of that mitzvah of Asli Mikdash v'shachanti b'salcham. You'll argue that the essence of the Mikdash is a base avoda, but the tools for avoda is an independent mitzvah. After all, the tools, the kelim, that is what constitutes that base avoda. If you assume as the Ramban, base hashchina, in principle, one could argue that the clay avoda are really independent, as a separate mitzvah. And that's why the Ramban writes that the clay avoda are not part of Vosli Mikdash. I agree they're not counted for very different reasons. The clay avoda are part of the mitzvah of avoda, but not part of the mitzvah of osli mikdash v'shachanti v'salcham. So therefore, in that sense, you understand that linkage between the Rambam and the Ramban. A further machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, is found in the very end of Sefer HaMitzvos. You know that the Ramban has a section, his Asagos, which is called Mitzvos Sheshachach Harav. The mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to count. After all, they're interested in the Taryag mitzvahs. And if the Ramban, for example, is going to disagree with the Rambam and argue this should not be counted, the Ramban certainly is going to argue, but there are other mitzvahs that the Rambam missed. And in the mitzvahs Losasei, Sheshachach Harav, the Ramban writes that there's an Isser that the Rambam forgot to count. And that is what you find in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah tells us, Kol Asher Amarti Aleichem, Tishameru. What does it mean? The Torah gave us a number of mitzvahs, and the Torah tells us a person must be zealous in order to fulfill these various mitzvahs. What is that a reference to? The Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, in Lo Sasei Gimel, it's a reference to the Isser, that one cannot go ahead and deviate from the Seder Hanochas Kelim, the Mikdash. The Ramban writes, the Torah gives us a prescription, a formula of the order in which the kelim are placed in the Mikdash, and deviation from that is an Isser Lo Sasei, Tishameru. He writes, the Rambam should have come to that in Sefer HaMitzvos. That element also, one could argue, fits in well with this machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban. Why did the Rambam fail to count the Seder Hanochas kelim as a mitzvah? The answer, according to the Rambam, perhaps is quite simple. That's not an independent mitzvah. Kelim are included under Vasli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Salchom. You have to build a Mishkan, build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to build the Kelim, and if the Torah tells us that there is a Seder Hanacha, there's a requisite order, that's not an independent mitzvah or Isser. Those simply are just part of the details of construction of the Mikdash itself. That's simply part of the blueprint. If you assume as the Ramban that Kelim are not included in Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Salcham, then if the Torah will give us details in order to ensure the proper order of Kelim, you cannot argue that it's part of Vosli Mikdash, and therefore the Ramban writes that must be a separate mitzvah, and therefore it's counted independently in the Sefer HaMitzvos itself. I had thought that one could argue a step further as follows. Not only would the Rambam argue that this is not a kasha, why I don't count this prohibition of deviating from the Seder Hanochas Kelim, but perhaps the Rambam would argue that that's a raya, that's an indicator, to my view, that there is a mitzvah of Kelim. Why is that perhaps a raya to the Rambam? Maybe simply as follows. If the Torah gives us a mitzvah, it's very reasonable to assume that there is a seder to the mitzvah. Every mitzvah that we have, there is a requisite order. If something is not a mitzvah, and all it is a hechsher mitzvah, then it is a much greater chiddush to assume that the order within a hechsher mitzvah is something which is so critical. And perhaps that's exactly why the Rambam assumes, if the Torah goes out of its way and tells us there's a prescribed order to the kelim in the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, that indicates that kelim is a mitzvah, not an independent mitzvah, but a mitzvah as part of Vosli Mikdash Vishafanti Besolcha. I'll give you the following example. The mitzvah of Big Day Kahuna. That is a parallel machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam writes there is a mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna. After all, right, the Torah says the Kohen wears the Big Day Kahuna, the cover of the Sifares. The Rambam writes that that is a mitzvah, mitzvah Lamed Gimel. And the Ramban disagrees. Just as the Ramban argues, when it comes to kelim, not a mitzvah, it's simply a hechsher mitzvah. The Ramban writes the same is true when it comes to Big Day Kahuna. Big Day Kahuna is not a mitzvah, but rather it is simply a hechsher avoda. But look, the Kohen must do the avoda. And the Kohen cannot do the avoda without the necessary Big Day Kahuna. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Yizayin, Bizman Shebigdein Alehen, Kuhunasun Alehen. So therefore, of course, the Kohen has to don Big Day Kahuna, not as an independent mitzvah, but rather as a hechsher mitzvah, a hechsher avoda. The Ramban equates kelim as a hechsher avoda to Levisha's Big Day Kahuna, which is a hechsher avoda. The Ramban disagrees and maintains that no, it is considered to be a mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna. If you look at the Ramban in Perek Yud Hilchos Kohei HaMikdash, the Ramban writes the following: Ketzad Seder Levisha's HaBegadim. What is the order in which the Kohen wears the Big Day Kahuna? When the Kohen dons, when he puts on the Big Day Kahuna, what is the Seder Levisha? And the Rambam describes, he puts on the Mechnasayim, the Ksones, the Avnet, the Mitzvahs. That is the Seder Levisha. The Vinach HaSinuch is very bothered, and it's the Tzadites. Is there a Seder Levisha? Is it so critical that the Kohen must wear the Big Day Kahuna in this order? He has to put it on this way. And if he doesn't put it on that other way, therefore he has disturbed the sequence of the mitzvah. Menachem Sinov writes, you don't find that at all in the Gemara. All you find in the Gemara is that the first of the Big Day Kahuna the Kohen must put on is the Mechnasayim, because the Torah describes that as being Al Besaro. So therefore the Mechnasayim are first. But the Menachem Sinov writes, there's no order to Levisha's Big Day Kahuna, to the point that the Menachem Sinov suggests that the Rambam really is Lav Dafka, should not be taken so literally. That the Rambam is presenting the order of the Pasuk, the way that the Pasuk presents the Big Day Kahuna, but not that the order that it's necessary for the Kohen to wear the Big Day Kahuna. No doubt, to assume that the Rambam is Lav Dafka, the Rambam writes, Ketzad Seder Levishas Begadim. What is the order that the Kohen must put on the Big Day Kahuna? That's simple to assume, but that really is so parenthetical, it just means these are the Big Day Kahuna. The Rambam apparently understood that no, that if the Torah presents the Big Day Kahuna in this fashion, and the Pasuk does write, Mechnasayim are first, so therefore that's an indicator that the order is quite specific, and therefore the Mechnasayim, and then the Ksonis, the Avnei Dad, the Nitznefes. The Rambam does have a Seder Levisha. And one could argue as follows, that of course is based on the Rambam's view that the Rambam holds there is a mitzvah of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna. If you hold that there is a mitzvah, then each and every mitzvah has an appropriate Seder. If wearing the Big Day Kahuna would not be a mitzvah, but rather simply a hechsher mitzvah, maybe then one could argue that the order really doesn't matter as long as the Kohen is wearing the Big Day Kahuna at the time of the Avona. Does it really make a difference which begging he will put on, second, third, or fourth? But if you assume there is a mitzvah Levisha, as the Rambam does, then clearly the Seder Levisha is considered to be critical. One could perhaps argue even a step further, that of course the Seder is critical according to the Rambam, for the following reason. The Rambam writes in the very end of Hilchos Kelayim, Perek Yud, Halacha Lamed Beis. You know that the Big Day Kahuna contains shatnez. The Avnet is made up of Tzemer Pishtim. So if I were to ask you, what right does the Kohen have to wear the Big Day Kuna, you would dismiss that question. The Torah says he must wear the Big Day Kuna. There's no other way to do the Avoda, obviously. Right, that is not an Isra of Shatnez, clearly. But the Rambam writes the following Kiddush. The Kohen is only allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna, the Shas Avoda. When you do the Avoda, you must wear the Big Day Kuna. So if you must wear the Big Day Kuna, obviously, they may be worn even though it contains Shatnez. Let's assume the Kohen wears the Big Day Kuna Shalo B'Shas Avoda. The Rambam writes, Lo kemipnei ha'avnet shalo. He'll get Malkus for the Isra of Shatnez. The Rambam writes that the only allowance to wear the Big Day Kuna is Avoda. Because otherwise, you will violate the Isra of Shatnez. The Avoda is Doch the Isra of Shatnez, B'Shas Avoda, not Shalo B'Shas Avoda. The Rambam disagrees, the Rambam maintains that no, that the Big Day Kuna are excluded from Isra Shatnez, and therefore even Shalom B'Shas Avoda, one would not violate that Isra. But the Rambam Shita is that if you wear Shalom B'Shas Avoda, there is Malkus. So in light of that Rambam, that the Kohen is only allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna while he's doing the Avoda. Well, obviously you'll tell me, you know, the Torah has to give some window of time. You know, the Kohen has to put on the Big Day Kuna slightly before Avoda. Fine. The Torah wasn't given to Malachi Hashareis, and obviously part of the allowance, the need to wear it during Avoda, means that you'll put it on slightly before the Avoda. But let me ask you a simple question. The problematic beged is the Avnet. So if the Kohen was to put on the Big Day Kuna, and the Avnet is the one which is Shatnez, and as the Rambam writes, you can only wear that at the time of the Avoda. So when the Kohen is putting on the Big Day Kuna, wouldn't we tell the Kohen to put the Avnet on last? Not to put the Avnet on third? Wait until everything else is on, and prior to the Avoda, then put on the Avnet. Why is it that the Rambam writes that the Seder Levisha is the Mechnasayim, the Ksones, the Avnet, followed by the Mitznefes? I would argue as follows. You see, if there is a Seder Levisha, the Torah insists that that is order. Well, if that's the way it must be, that's how it must be. The Torah insists that that is the order. Once you assume as the Mechnasayim that this order is not necessary, it's Lavdafka, then one could question if that's true, why is that even permissible according to the Rambam's view? Why would you be allowed to wear the Avnet without the Mitznefesh? Shalom B'Shas Avoda, what about this Rosh Shatnez? Perhaps that's an indicator when the Rambam writes that Kate says, Seder Levishas Begonim, of course there must be a Seder to Levishas Big Day Kuna. It's a mitzvah, and a mitzvah has a requisite order, and therefore it's necessary to don the Avnet in the order that the Torah presents it, and therefore, of course, that's not Shatnez. That's part of the mitzvah, Levisha. Once you argue that it is not necessary in such a case, then one would have to grapple with the issue of why, in fact, then it is even permitted. Why is it allowed to go ahead and to do so? So perhaps in these cases, the Rambam, there's a mitzvah kelim, and therefore there is a seder hanafas kelim. There's a mitzvah Levisha's Big Day Kuna, and therefore there is a seder of Levisha's Big Day Kahuna as well. We mentioned, according to the view of the Ramban, kelim are simply a hechsher mitzvah, a hechsher avoda, with the marked difference of the aron. Aron is not defined in terms of a particular avoda, and therefore va'asu aron, that is considered to be a mitzvah. That is not just simply a hechsher mitzvah. The Ramban in Parshas Truma emphasizes a further difference between aron and other of kelim that also seem to fit in very well with this distinction. The Ramban points out that when it comes to Klei HaMikdash, the Torah always writes when it comes to their kelim va'asisa in the singular. And yet when it comes to aron, the Torah says va'asu, lashon rabim. How do you understand that difference? Generally speaking, if the Torah wants to emphasize that this is a mitzvah which is incumbent upon each and every individual, the Torah will often employ the Lashon Rabin. Ulekachtem lachem, the Gemara Sukkot Daf Mem Aleph, the Gemara tells us, lekicha lekol echad v'echad.
Everyone is obligated to take the Dalit. Meaning, Tosus writes, that's because the Pasuk says, Ulakach Tam, and Vlok Siv, Ulakach Tav. When it comes, for example, to counting the Omer, Usfartem Lachem, the Gemara writes, Amenachos Samachay, Sri Lachol Echad Yechad. When it comes to counting the years of the Yovel, then the Safarta Lecha, you count, who are you? It doesn't mean each member of Klal Yisrael, it means Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a single unit. And that's what Tosfos writes, but that's fulfilled through Bezdin, through the Sanhedrin. They will convene, they will count, Tosfos writes, they count with the Bracha, each year of the Yovel cycle, but it's not an individual chiyuv. The Safarta Lecha, you Klal Yisrael as a whole will count, and there are many such differences as well. Here, when it comes to Klei HaMikdash, the Torah tells us when it comes to other kelim, the singular, va'asisa. When it comes to Aram, then va'asu Aram. The Ramban writes the same distinction. When it comes to other kelim, it's a hechsher avoda. Klal Yisrael has to see to it that there is avoda in Beis HaMikdash. There's Karbanos, there's Havlakas HaNeros, there's the Mitzvah Lechem HaPanim. So we must see to it collectively in that sense, that there is a mizbeah, there is a menorah, there is a shulchan. That is not a chovas yachid, but chov an each individual, but rather that is a mitzvah hamutelas al hatzibur. And therefore the Torah tells us, vasisa. Unlike the case of Aron, there, the Ramban writes, va'osu Aron. That is not just simply a hefshar avodah. That is an independent mitzvah. And here the Ramban refers to the Medrash that tells us that Yavo kulam v'yasku ba'aron kidei shiyasku kulam v'tzorah. The purpose of the Aron is to emphasize the Torah Hashem, to house the Luchos, and therefore that is a mitzvah which is l'chol echad v'yachad. So the Ramban writes, the role of the Aron relates to each person individually in a way that is not true of the other kelim. And that is why the Ramban writes, other kelim v'asisa, when it comes to Aron, then the Torah writes, v'asu Aron. In fact, one perhaps could argue as follows, that really there are two different elements, two different halachos, when it comes to the Aron. On the one hand, right, Aron is part of the Klei HaMikdash. It certainly is true. Aron is among the necessary kelim. On the other hand, there's a different role of the Aron. The Torah describes later in Devarim in Parshas Ekev that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai with the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu is told to construct an Aron. That was even before the mitzvah of Asli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socha. Why was it necessary to have an Aron? Very simply, independent of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash, it's necessary to have an Aron because its purpose is to house the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu has the Luchos, and therefore they must be placed in an Aron Ha'edus. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is told to construct an Aron. And that predates any mitzvah of Asli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochan. If that is true, there are two different roles of the Aron. On the one hand, the purpose of the Aron is to house the Luchos. On the other hand, the Aron is one of the essential kelim of the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, but two halachos of Aron. The Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Aron ultimately that was built for the Mishkan. In fact, perhaps one can go a step further and argue as follows, that the Aron is made up of two different elements, two different components. It's made up of Zahav. It's also made up, as you know, of Atzei Shitin. And perhaps one could suggest that this reflects the two different halachos, the two different Dinei HaAron. In the following sense, why is it necessary to have the Zahav? That is part of Klei HaMikdash. The Aron was not unique in terms of being made of Zahav. What is the role of Atzei Shitin? Perhaps that reflects the role of the Aron, whose purpose it is to house the Luchos. Why would one suggest that that is true? Well, when you look at that original Aron, when Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you will come down from Har Sinai, you will have the Luchos, it's necessary to house the Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to build an Aron Eitz, an Aron that was made out of Atzei Shitin, out of Eitz. Zahav was not mentioned at all in that Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu.
B'niv for Zahav, right, is part of the mitzvah, Vosli Mikdash V'Shechanti D'Selchom, part of the role of Aron in terms of Klei HaMikdash. The purpose of the Aron to house Luchos, the original Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was in Aron 8. So perhaps that also indicates the two different materials, two different halachos, the role of the Aron to house the Luchos, the role of the Aron in terms of Klei HaMikdash. Going a step further, perhaps one could argue as follows. If there are two halachos of Aron, one which is Mikdash, one which is the more universal one of Moshe Rabbeinu, to house Luchos. And the Torah goes out of its way and says, Va'osu, that this is a mitzvah which is the Chol Echad V'Yachad. Which element of Aron applies to each one of us? Which element of Aron is just simply part of the Chovas HaTzibur? So perhaps one could suggest the following. The role of the Aron is part of Klei HaMikdash. That's no different than the other Klei HaMikdash. That is a chiyuv which is incumbent upon the tzibur as a whole. That is not a mitzvah which is mechol echad v'echad. The role of the Aron that applies to each person individually, yavul kulam v'yasku ba'aron, that is the representation of the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu was told to house the Luchos, to see to it that the Luchos, the Sefer Torah, have its proper place, its proper focus. That is not part of the mitzvah tzibur of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, but rather that is something that relates to each person individually. See, with this in mind, when you revisit the Pasuk in Parshas Truma that tells us of the mitzvah Aron, so it's beautifully meduyak. Rav Asher Weiss pointed out the following. The Torah tells us, Va'osu Aron, V'loshen Rabbim, Va'osu. And then the Torah continues and tells us, Hatzishitim. All that is mentioned is the Aron 8. That's reminiscent of the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of the Aron 8, that is the mitzvah Va'osu. And of course the Torah quickly tells us, it's not just made up of Hatzishitim. But the Torah continues with tzipiso sozav. You have to overlay it with gold. And here, the tzipisa is b'lashon yachid. The Torah begins v'asu b'lashon rabim, the tzipisa b'lashon yachid. As though you indicate the two halachos of Aron. V'asu, that relates to cholechad v'yachad, that's the atzei shitim. That is that Aron eitz. And then, there is part of the Aron as Klei HaMikdash, that again is Vasisa, no different from the Shulchan, Kior, Kano, the Mizbeach, that is a Chovas HaTzibur. So for the Torah divides up the materials of the Aron, the Tukim of the Aron, the difference between Va'osu as opposed to the Pasuk of the Tzipisa. So according to the Rambam Shita, all of this is subsumed under the mitzvah of the mikdash v'shachanti b'sochem. According to the Rambam, they're considered to be a hechsher mitzvah with the exception of the Aron, which is an independent mitzvah. There's even a further view, and that's the view of the Raivin. The Raivin, in the very beginning of the Yad HaChazakah, the Rambam lists the mitzvahs. And the Rambam there in mitzvah chaf, right, there's one mitzvah, of the mikdash v'shachanti b'sochem. And the Raivid is masig that the Rambam should have counted one of the kelim separately. But the Raivid, not the kli of the Aron, as the Ramban writes, but rather the Mizbeach. That's the chiddush of the Raivid. The Mizbeach should be a separate mitzvah. Why exactly is that true? The Raivid apparently understood as follows. You know why the Mizbeach is a separate mitzvah? Maybe for two compelling reasons. Reason number one, is that, you know, the Rambam writes that Machriv and Karbano Safo Pishin Abayis Banui. The Rambam writes that in principle, you don't need the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash to offer Karbanos. Mizbeach is not dependent on the other Kalim. And therefore, if they're independent, maybe Mizbeach should be a separate mitzvah. And perhaps the Raivid gleaned this as well from the Parshios. Parshas Truma. But you know, you look earlier, already the very end of Parshas Yisro. The end of Parshas Yisro, before the tzivui of Vasnei Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, the Torah commands us to build a Mizbeach. The Rabbit understood that you see from that, if the tzivui of the Mizbeach precedes the mitzvah Vasnei Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem, therefore it's true that the Shulchan, the Menorah, that's part of Asiyas HaMikdash.
but not true when it comes to the mitzvah mizbeach. That's a separate mitzvah. One could have envisioned, even without Vosli Mikdash, we have to have a mizbeach in order to offer karbanos, and there the rabbin writes that that should be independent. And the Rambam Shitas know that all of this is grouped under the same heading of Vosli Mikdash. V'shachanti b'selchem. So various possibilities in the Rishonim in terms of the minyan ha-mitzvahs. The role of the kelim, as according to the Rambam, part of the mitzvah b'shlemusa of binyan ha-mishkan and binyan beis ha-mikdash. According to the Rambam, no, it's only considered to be a hekshar mitzvah, a hekshar avoda with exception of Aron, the chiddush of the Ravish Shita, that in general it's true. Kelim are part of osli mikdash with exception of mizbeah. If that sivui preceded Parshas Truma, that indicates that in a certain measure there is independence, and as the Rambam writes, that in principle one could envision Hakrabas HaKarbanos even without the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself. These are the various views when it comes to Vosli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem and the link, according to Ramban, of Klei HaMikdash and Big Day Kuna. Neither one of them is considered to be an independent mitzvah. The purpose of each is to ensure the avoda. The Kohen must don the Big Day Kuna as a Hechsher avoda, and it's true, it would be necessary to have the Klei HaMikdash, because without them the avoda cannot proceed, with the noted exception of the Aron. That the Ramban writes, V'osu, that clearly is an independent mitzvah, that Yavo Kulam V'yasku Baron Kadesh Yisku Kulam V'tor.